Fred P Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti, and today I'm at the 72nd Venice International Film Festival in company of Charlie Kaufman and Duke Johnson, co-directors of Anomalisa. So, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Normally, as a radio, I always have to ask, you know, the general question, as director to describe their film, but I found myself incapable of really giving an idea to the audience and our listeners, so I would like you to try and describe the film.
Okay, well, that's a tall order.
Yes.
It's a stop-motion animated film about a man who goes on a business trip and feels very alienated in his life and his experience at the hotel over 2 days, a day and a half. I don't know what else to say about it.
How did it all start? I mean, how did you get on board? Because I know that was a theater play and the sound play. So how was the meeting of you two? And were you ever skeptical at first about turning the theater play and the sound play into a stop motion film, which is a particular kind of animation?
Yeah, I was skeptical. Because it was designed not to be seen specifically, you know, and to be created in the audience's imagination, and the translation of it into a visual form, it worried me. There were things I knew I'd have to give up, but you know, they wanted to do it, and I thought it was an interesting challenge. So, and Duke can speak to how it happened, if you want.
Yeah, we were working at a. I was working at an animation studio in Burbank called Starburns Industries with a friend of both Charlie and mine, who's one of the owners of the studio, named Dino Stamatopoulos. And Dino, as I said, is friends with Charlie and had gotten a copy of the script for the stage play, and thought it would be a good idea as an animated film, and presented it to me, and I read it and fell in love with it. And then we approached Charlie and asked permission to do it, and he said if we could raise the money that we could do it, and that's basically how it started.
I know that as a stop motion director, it could be easier for you to picture things, but I mean, for me, now it's almost obvious that without the Unix voiceover and the same faces, it would have been very difficult for me to really relate to the character and this feeling of inadequacy and depression and melancholy, not to his hope for connection that leads him to get out of that depression state, a melancholy state for a brief moment, and then he realizes in the end, I mean, that is an ability to really fit in. So it's sort of, he surrenders in a way.
Surrenders to his melancholy, you mean?
Yes.
I mean, I think that the movie suggests that this is not the first time this has happened to Michael.
Yes, exactly.
And I think some of that has to do with presenting the idea of romantic love and that initial feeling that you get and how that sort of fades over time. And then you run away and look for it again, or you try to figure out how to be with the person that you're with. And I think that there's some of that going on in the story.
Can you comment on the decision of leaving the scenes on the faces of Michael and Lisa character? It seems perfect to me, but I wanted to understand the decision behind that.
Well, that's a function of how the puppets operate. It's a style of animation called replacement animation, where you have hundreds of different pieces for the top, for the brows, and for the lower part, for the mouths, and to create the sync audio. Most animated projects that use this style of animation, they use computers to paint out those seams. We chose not to do that because it seemed like a better fit to our story and to our aesthetic. There was a relevance to the themes in the story, and we just liked it. It seemed to fit.
I think that, I just want to add, I think that we liked the idea that you could see how this was animated, as opposed to trying to conceal the process, which is what most movies do, and then you don't know what you're looking at. We like the idea that these are puppets, and this is how they function, and you can see it. I mean, in addition to what Duke said, which is, I agree with completely, I just wanted to add that.
The greatest thing was, the most amazing thing for me, was that after, I think, 3 minutes, I can even think about the fact that they were puppets, and that all the scenes, and I think it made you realize something even more real than reality, because sometimes we actors, it's very difficult to, I don't know, to portray even a sex scene that realistically, because, or the shower scene made me laugh because it happens to everybody, but I've never seen it that way, that so realistic with actors.
Yeah, we really wanted all that stuff to feel real. That's how we designed the puppets that way, so that we'd look as real as we could make them. And the movements of the puppets are not stylized the way they are in most animations. They're trying to make them very small and subtle. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, one of the benefits of this medium of animation is that it gives you the opportunity to really study. You know, just as a film or a piece of art is a study of the human experience or a study of emotion, animation can be a study of physical movement and how people move and how they interact with each other. And we really wanted it to not be that sort of typical kind of broad archetypal movement that you see in a lot of animation. We wanted it to be subtle and nuanced and authentic and truthful. So we spent a lot of time studying how people move and interact with each other.
Thank you so much for being with me and sharing this experience.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is Chiara Nicoletti from the 72nd Venice International Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Inside.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.